Let's turn and read God's Word together. Two passages of Scripture this morning. Turning first of all to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and beginning to read at verse 9, and then going back to the verses we looked at last Lord's Day morning in 2 Timothy and chapter 3. But let's begin with Psalm 119, reading at verse 9. The psalmist says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." And then over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And for the sake of time, I'll break into the reading at verse 14. We read these verses last Lord's Day morning. And in verse 14, the apostle says to young Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect," or spiritually mature, "thoroughly furnished unto all good work." Last Sunday morning, as we were looking at another one of our objectives for the life of our local church, we were thinking about the need for a relevant ministry. Every local church should be a place where God's people love to hear the Word of God being preached. Every local church should be a place where the Word of God is preached in all its fullness, and where the people have the opportunity to hear the whole counsel of God. And we were thinking about the importance of the Word of God, because it's through God's Word that He communicates His truth to us regarding our everyday walk with Him. It's through His Word of truth that God enables us to face all of these other objectives that we have been thinking about and to put them into practice in our lives in a relevant way. Thinking again of those words we read at the end of 2 Timothy 3, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." As far as the importance of God's word is concerned, we reminded ourselves of four things. It saves. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It sustains. When you and I seek to read it, to meditate upon it, and to apply it to our lives, then these souls of ours are fed, and they're nurtured, and they're nourished. It sanctifies. In other words, it has an impact upon our lives, and it changes us, and continues to change us, to make us into the people that God wants us to be. And of course, it satisfies. When we've got a desire for the Word of God and we learn to read it and to meditate upon it, it becomes really sweet to our souls and helps us in our walk with God. It makes us more consistent, makes us more committed, and it makes us much more Christ-like. As we pick it up there this morning, I want to remind us secondly about the instruction in the Word of God. For all of us today who handle the Word of God, whether that be in a public ministry week by week in this church or anywhere else, or where it is that we minister the Word of God from time to time, or whether it's those who are under our care in Sunday school, in Bible class, amongst the young people of our church, it is so important that we treat God's Word seriously and that we handle God's Word carefully. If we're going to have a relevant ministry and have an impact on the lives of those to whom we minister, we need to look at the guidelines which are given to us in the Scriptures in order that we might be helped to be relevant in our ministry. Listen again to what Paul says to Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now these are good guidelines for us as we handle the Word of God. Remember that God's aim for His people is that they might become mature in their faith, that spiritually speaking they might learn to stand upon their own two feet. He wants that they might be equipped for acts of Christian service. And He wants ultimately that we might, as His people, live a life of holiness and thereby display a greater Christ-likeness as we live in this world today. Now, for that to happen, we need an all-round ministry, not an all-round minister like me. We need an all-round ministry, and we need a relevant ministry. And these things today help us as we seek to make this applicable to our situation. Let me remind you of four things necessary in our ministry today. The first is there's the need for doctrine. There's the need for doctrine. Because a balanced and relevant ministry must always include doctrine. As Christians in today's changing world, it's important that we know what we believe and why we believe it. Many years ago, sitting in a meeting just like this after I was saved, I remember someone coming to the meeting and saying this. It stuck with me, and it has stuck with me to this day. He came to minister God's Word and he simply says, you know, it really doesn't matter where you and I hang our hat on a Sunday. I wasn't long saved and I thought, that's not right. And I still don't believe it's right. I think it matters a great deal where we hang our hat on a Sunday. I believe it matters a great deal where it is that we meet and who it is that we meet with and what it is that we meet for. And in the course of a relevant ministry, there is the need for us to understand what it is that we believe and why it is that we believe it. Now, doctrine tells us what is right and what is good, and therefore we need to be instructed doctrinally in the fundamentals of our faith. There is an idea, of course, abroad in the Christian church today that so long as we're saved and we're going home to heaven, we ought not to treat doctrine too seriously. But that's a great mistake. A Christian will never grow strong spiritually until he or she knows the doctrines of their faith. And that is why when I hear about somebody getting saved, whether they're young, old, middle-aged, it doesn't matter. When I hear about them coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and they've now enjoyed God's salvation, I long to see them with an appetite for God's Word. I long to see them having not just that appetite, but meeting together with others around the Word of God that they might grow in grace and in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I are going to be strong spiritually, then we need to be taught Bible truth. You take your mind back again to that early church in the Acts of the Apostles. Remember how in Acts chapter 2 there were those who gladly received His Word, and then they were baptized, and then they were added on to the local church. The next thing that it tells us is this. that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were taught the word of God. I like the words used by John Henry Jowett, who says this. He says, you cannot drop the big themes and create great saints. You cannot drop the big themes and create great saints. Beloved, doctrine is important to us. And especially in days when there is great confusion in the spiritual realm, we need to know what we believe, we need to know why we believe it, so that we are not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that is being blown across church life today, and there are many of them. Some Christians don't know what they believe, and that's why they jump from pillar to post, move from place to place, jump in every spiritual cart that's going down the road, and when it comes to the day when the wheels fall off the cart, they're left floundering in their faith because they've never been able to stand four square upon the word of God. I know that in the early days of our faith, and especially for young Christians, doctrine can seem to be very heavy, sometimes maybe totally unnecessary in our minds. But I believe this, having said as a young Christian, that it is a vital foundation that we all need to build. It's one we need to build early in our Christian faith, if we're going to be strong in that faith and grow up in Jesus Christ. In the world in which you and I are living today, there's a world that is filled with false doctrine, false cults, false hopes. And if we're going to stand against the error all around us, we need to know the truth and be able to explain that truth to others. As far as a relevant ministry is concerned, there's the need for doctrine. The second thing is this, that as far as a relevant ministry is concerned, there's the need for reproof. If doctrine tells us what is right, reproof speaks to us of what is not right. Guy King, in his little commentary in 2 Timothy, says this, the Scripture is ever a true and faithful friend and will not hesitate to point out our faults. The Scripture is ever a true and faithful friend and will not hesitate to point out our faults. A lady who was high up in society was visiting a city art museum one day, and she was looking at all the paintings on show. She was well read and she knew her paintings well, but as she stood at a spot in the gallery, she called the curator over and she said, "Sir, what is this painting?" She says, "I have never seen it before and I find the image very shallow and it's rather crude in appearance." "Well," said the curator, "it's a mirror, ma'am. It's a mirror, ma'am." You know, beloved, the Word of God is like a mirror for us. And if we're honest and open before the Word of God, we see ourselves as we really are, and sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes we don't like what we see in ourselves because we know that we're not everything we ought to be. And sometimes we don't like what we read because it's not along our grain of thinking. But the point is this, that when you and I come to the Word of God, it exposes us for what we really are. Sometimes we don't like it. We can see ourselves as shallow, sometimes crude in appearance, and sometimes not the people that you and I would so much long to be. In a relevant ministry, there are times when we need to have our points, our faults pointed out. And I'm talking about both the pastor and his people. Because doctrine without duty is dead. The godly A.W. Tozer once said this: the purpose behind all doctrine is to secure moral action. For us to become what God wants us to be, we need to know not only what we believe, we also need to know when we have gone wrong. Now, we don't need to be hammered every week with God's word so that we become discouraged and feel useless. That won't do any of us any good. We don't need to go home every week feeling miserable and worthless. But there are times when God, through his word, has to prick our consciences. And he has to reveal to us where we're going wrong. And oft times our growth and our maturity in spiritual things is determined by whether we're prepared to put it right or not. It's one thing to know where we're going wrong. It's another thing to have the grace to accept it and to seek the grace of God to put it right. When things in our lives are not right, sometimes we need help to see that, because sometimes we're the last to see it. When things are not right in our lives, in our homes, in our relationships with each other, in our relationships with the Lord himself, we need to be exhorted and we need to be helped to put things right. It'll be painful, make no doubt about it. But it also has to be practical, because these are real issues that affect our everyday walk, and a relevant, faithful ministry will do that. But here's a word of warning. And it's a word of warning to my own heart today and to the hearts of all of those who handle God's word. It's so essential that the pastor or the preacher himself deals with his own life first, before he seeks to reprove others. It is so possible to handle God's word hypocritically, to lay demands on others that we have no intention of fulfilling ourselves. And isn't that what the Pharisees sought to do in their day, and Jesus rebuked them for it? When I hear a preacher preach to others and he's continually saying to them, "You need to do this and you need to do that," I become worried. For the preacher, it needs to be we and not you. For no preacher is without his own faults. Problem is, sometimes we just don't see them. But they're there. And sometimes they have to be pointed out. There's the need for doctrine. There's the need for reproof. There's the need for correction. And this correction helps us to put right what is wrong in our lives. And let's be honest. None of us like to be corrected. But there are times when it is absolutely necessary, and when it is for our own good. Take a child who sits at school and he's working out a problem in mathematics. You wouldn't want to know the problems I had with mathematics. But take a child who's sitting at school and he's sitting there and he's working out something, and the teacher comes along and he looks at his work and he just comes over to the page and he takes the red pen and he puts a big X beside it, scores us out and moves on. Now, if that teacher doesn't stop for a moment, either there or at the end of the class, and explain where the child has gone wrong, he'll never know how to put it right the next time. And the teacher wouldn't be doing his or her job. It's not just enough for her to say where he has gone wrong. They need to be helped to put it right. And it's the same with the ministry of God's Word. We need to see not only where we have gone wrong, but we need help through the Word of God to put it right so that we don't make the same mistakes again. We need to be corrected. And when God seeks to correct us, we really ought to heed His Word. None of us take kindly to correction of any kind. But for the Christian, it is so important. Why? Well, because God loves us too much to see us going astray. He wants the best for us. He wants the best from us. And if today we're wild and we're wayward, and we're doing our own thing and just living as we please, sometimes for our own good, God has to come alongside and correct us, and He has to bring us back into our place again. And many of us, I'm sure, have experienced that and can say today in hindsight it was always for our own good. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Those words are repeated in a similar vein in Hebrews 12. It might be painful at the time, but correction is essential in the building of good character. It's essential both for the Christian minister and for his people, and it's part, a very important part, of a relevant ministry. There's the need for doctrine. There's the need for reproof. There's the need for correction. And there's the need for instruction. Paul says that God's inspired word gives us instruction in righteousness. The word that he uses in the original brings to our minds the training of a child. Those of us who have brought up children, and those of us who are in the process of bringing them up just now, we realize what it is and the difficulties that there are to train our children. Of course, we always believe that if we train them in the right way, they'll end up looking like us and doing the same things as us. That's not so. It's a good job. But we know that it's a painful thing, and we know that it takes time, and we know that it's a slow process, and we know that some children are harder to train than others. But we have to persevere. Those who have known my two children and have known them well have always said to me, you know something, John, they're like chalk and cheese. And I say they are, but I don't tell them what it was like trying to rear them. Because they've children of their own and they know it's a slow, difficult, painful process. And spiritually speaking, it's the same. Every child of God needs to be instructed. They need to be trained. We all need to be helped to grow in our faith, and some will grow faster than others. We all need to be fed on the Word of God that we might fatten and flourish, spiritually speaking. We all need to be directed in the right path that we might live in the right way, and that will not happen if we neglect God's Word individually and if we neglect it collectively. Already with the boys and girls, I was reminding them and us that everyone, each one of us, shall give account of ourselves to God. Beloved, remember that when it comes to judging others on where they are spiritually. Sometimes we get very sore and we become very hard with young believers because they're not where we were or are today after 20, 30 years of trying to grow spiritually. We want them just to make that whole journey over a couple of weeks so that it suits us. Doesn't happen like that. And I've said it before from this pulpit, and I'll say it again. Had you have seen me when I was a young person, you never would have had me here. Of course, I'm still a young person. Don't forget that. But you know what I mean by that. It takes time for development. It takes much encouragement. Sometimes it takes great patience. And sometimes it takes a lot of compassion. But if we're prepared to persevere, we'll help them get there. Because we only got to where we are today because there were those who showed the same care, the same patience, the same perseverance, and the same compassion. I love the words that Warren Wiersbe uses concerning these four phrases. Here's what he says. He says, the scriptures are profitable for doctrine, what is right. For reproof, what is not right. For correction, how to get right. And for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. Let's make sure we treat the Word of God with great importance. If we don't, we neglect it at our peril. Listen to the words of a lovely hymn. Our Hudson Pope, it says this: we thank thee, Lord, indeed, that thou thy word hast given to light our path in this dark world and safely guide to heaven, to warn of sinful steps and point our road each day, to keep us in the one safe path, that straight and narrow way. As thy commands we seek within thy word each day, teach us what thou wilt have us do, then teach us to obey. O, give us minds to learn and hearts to know thy will, and make us willing, cheerful, strong, thy bidding to fulfill. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's make sure that our studying of God's word and how we live it out in today's world is always one of our main objectives. Now let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we come to you again this morning, and we ask that you would forgive us for those many times when we have neglected your word of truth. In the midst of a busy life, our Father, amongst legitimate things, there have been times when we haven't read your word, meditated upon that word in the way that we should have done. Please forgive us. And give us a holy hunger for your precious word of truth. For those times, our Father, when we have failed to live it out before others in a way that's real and relevant, please forgive us. So often we feel that we know how others should live, but sometimes we're not as good at practicing what we preach. May each one of us, our Father, today live in a manner that becomes the gospel. And may our lives show to others the genuineness of our faith. And for some, our Father, struggling in their faith today, whether they're young or whether they're old, our Father, struggling at this present time, help us to be patient with them. Help us to be compassionate toward them. And help us, our Father, to give them that helping hand that they need, just to get up and to go on. And remind these hearts of ours today, whatever the state of others, that they are but for the grace of God. Go I. So bless your word to us and make it a real blessing to us in days to come, as individually and collectively we meditate upon it. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.